Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolummusic.com, where you can download PDFs of some of the best new arrangements and compositions for solo, ensemble, and chamber harp. We're thrilled to present the new edition of Francis G. Miller's classic harp solo, The Merry Brook. With the help of Miller's daughter, Lynn Aspness, we've reset the music to make a new edition of this classic beginning harp solo. Plus, you can learn how to play The Merry Brook from Aspness in her studio at the Harp Column Academy at harpcolumnacademy.com. It's been a while. In the months since the last Harp Column podcast released, I got married, had a birthday, served on jury duty, played countless performances, and taught all of my amazing students. I'm so excited about the upcoming episodes for May and June, but before we do that, I wanted to take a small step back. Episode 22 features interviews that I recorded a few months ago with Lynn Williams and John Wickie, where we talked about managing performance anxiety. With a lot of harpists getting ready to attend summer festivals, workshops, and other performance-related events, I thought this was the perfect time to release these conversations. Performance anxiety is something that a lot of musicians deal with. There are a lot of different methods to overcome the feelings that can come along with performance anxiety, and in this podcast, we'll only be discussing a few. If this episode resonates particularly strongly with you, and you want to learn more about combating performance anxiety, there are amazing resources out there to combat these feelings. I encourage you to seek out the work of both Noah Keijiyama, creator of the Bulletproof Musician blog and online courses, and the Olympic sports psychologist Don Green's books, Performance Success and Audition Success. Lynn Williams knows a thing or two about stress and performance. As the principal harpist of the Lyric Opera in Chicago, Lynn is responsible for playing some of the most exposed and challenging parts in our repertoire. I asked her to tell me a little bit about the stresses of her job and how she deals with them.
More often than not, I'm playing solos in the pit, and you're not in control at all, usually, because you've got a singer to deal with, and sometimes they're very nervous, and sometimes it's a cover singer who's totally different than what you've practiced with, and there's just all sorts of things that could be different. I think of it as a roller coaster and find it very exciting. No 2 days are the same, and it's very thrilling. Now, that doesn't mean it's very comfortable, but I happen to like that. So this season in the fall, we did Lucia de Lammermoor. So it, of course, has the beautiful harp solo in it. And that is like playing a mini harp concerto every night. I've played that piece for decades now. So it's an old friend to me as far as being comfortable with it. And I think that every time I get to play it, it gets a little bit better. And that's because I can relax and listen to myself, that along with just breathing, it lets me survive the moments. And of course, I have extremely supportive colleagues. They know that this is a big opportunity for me, and they, you know, tell me about the performance, what they liked, what they didn't like, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like having your family there to hug you after every show. So it is stressful, but it's such a thrill. One of the two most important aspects of controlling nerves is your preparation and your routine. And for me, the routine started in about undergraduate. And from the day of the performance, it's everything from the amount of sleep you try to get the night before, how well fed and hydrated you are, to getting to the venue really early. For me, I would get to a venue maybe 2 hours before and get my harp settled, and then get myself settled, and then go back to the harp and do some warming up, and then do some relaxing, so that you have this kind of balance of mentally and physically being warm at the right place before you perform without tiring yourself out. Being in a quiet environment is really important to the routine prior to the performance, getting the distractions of the world away from you so you can really focus on what the job at hand is.
how do you help your students deal with performance anxiety?
What I say to my students is you always want to line yourself up for success, which sounds simple enough, but I find that students don't necessarily take into account everything that's required to have a successful performance. The preparation long before, the memorization, not being at the last minute, showing up on time, being warmed up, tuning the harp, all those things that we as professionals have done for a long time can all be roadblocks for students. So, for example, I have a couple students doing degree recitals this year, and I've required all of them to have their degree recital completely finished and memorized a minimum of a month before the date. And then, of course, there's always stuff to be worked on, details to be polished, but this enables them to have a month completely memorized and finished where they can have mock concerts for friends and families or whoever else, so they can have dry runs of this performance. I tell my students, I don't want you to ever have a performance that you're worried about, because that can lead to a bad experience and has baggage and all that. You always want to line yourself up for having the good experience.
Just taking Lynn's current job into account, it's clear that she's accustomed to dealing with stressful performance situations. But in reality, she's been doing this kind of thing basically her whole life.
I started playing the piano when I was 5, and my mother had me doing competitions and the National Guild of Piano Teachers evaluations each year. So it was like a jury from when I was 5 years old. So I have this amazing experience that I didn't know I needed from 5, competing and then switching to the other instruments and continuing on. When I did my undergrad, I entered the Ann Adams competition, and that turned out to be extremely valuable experience preparing for and making myself, put myself out there to be judged. And then those competitions can dovetail into all the many, many, many auditions I've been in. And it's the same feeling of nerves and stress, because you care and want something so badly. And every single person is going to deal with that differently. I have some friends that maybe use a beta blocker to help them, because they found that physically they need a help with that, and that works great for them. I tested those out at one point, and I found if I can prepare myself mentally and physically in practice, that I don't need them, because I can actually think about the music instead of worrying about.
Hold on a second. A small public service announcement. Beta blockers are kind of a taboo subject in the music performance field, and I want to be clear that we at Harp Column are not encouraging anyone to experiment with drugs of any kind. Beta blockers work by blocking the receptor sites for adrenaline and non-adrenaline on beta receptors of the sympathetic nervous system, which mediates the fight or flight response in the human body, and are a serious medication that come with a whole list of nasty side effects. If you think that you are a candidate for this kind of medication, meaning that you've exhausted all other routes and means of dealing with your performance anxiety, I encourage you to speak with your physician. You're listening to Harp Column Podcast, episode number 22. You can read more harp news, feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. We have some truly fascinating people in our community, and I feel so privileged to have the opportunity to share their stories with you. You probably know the name John Wickie. Up until very recently, he was a prominent figure in the Atlanta harp community, and helped run and organize the American Harp Society conference last summer. Up until this interview, I knew little more about John than those facts. Having just completed his first season as the principal harpist with the Greenville Symphony Orchestra in Greenville, South Carolina, he's busy running his recently opened Tropical Smoothie franchise. early on in our conversation about performance anxiety, John said something that blew my mind. He says it very early on in this first segment. Let's see if you catch it.
I came back to performing as a choice, and I have a different outlook about it than I did when I was young, where everything seemed like it was an audition. And, you know, you felt sort of like everybody was very competitive at university and that everybody was counting all your wrong notes. And there was always somebody out there looking to pick nits. And as I came back to it as an adult, I have a different view of the stage than I did when I was younger. I go out there assuming the best rather than the worst from the audience. It makes the whole experience when I perform a lot more pleasant.
Did you hear? He came back to performing. I had always assumed that John had always been a harpist as his primary profession. Surprised, I asked how much time he'd taken away from the instrument.
About 15 years. When I moved to California, I was still trying to do both, my technology day job, and I was starting to play gigs out there in the evening. And right away, it hit me, John, you know, this is the same thing that you've had your whole career as a musician, trying to make ends meet and trying to do your best for the instrument. And you can't seem to do anything to 100% because you're torn in two. So I got rid of my harp car, bought a convertible, and just stopped gigging altogether. And that lasted for a while. And then, you know, I got older and I just sort of like, you know, this is not, who am I anymore? You know, I had reached this level in my day job career. I was at the pinnacle, you know, I had the money and the title and all the stuff and just kind of wasn't me anymore. So this last, 6-7 years has been sort of getting back into the music world. You know, your life in music is a path and not everybody takes the same path. And this is sort of the way it's worked out for me.
Knowing how fierce competition can be for even non-salaried orchestral positions, it's truly a testament to John's talent and drive to reconnect with his instrument that he can call himself the principal harpist of the Greenville Symphony. Curious about how one might even begin to wrap their minds around auditioning again after taking so much time away, I asked John to tell me a little bit about his experience coming back to the auditioning circuit.
How long had it been since you'd taken an orchestra audition?
I took one in California when I first started to play again 7 or 8 years ago. I took one there and I made it past the first round. That was sort of my classic symptom of orchestra auditions. Went right back to where I was when I was doing them when I was younger. I was the person who could make it past the first round and then mentally something would happen to me in that audition room. I would let my guard down or I would start to engage with other people. My focus just got lost between the first round, the second round, or the third round, whatever. And so I knew in this one, I didn't want to go through that. And so I knew I had to have some things that I was not going to do. And one of them was not engage with other people. You know, I mean, I'm a pretty social person. I mean, when you get in a room full of harpists, there's going to be people you know. And in that audition in California, it was everybody that I knew, you know, from the Harp Society for whatever. You know, I'm old enough where I know just, you know, a lot of people. And so it's yak, 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 yak. And then by the second round, you know, I just blown it mentally. I was out of the box. So this time I knew going in that I wanted to, like, make sure that I had a plan. And after meditating, I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I had that picture in my mind of Michael Phelps sitting there by the pool with his headphones on and his hoodie and, like, just sort of not paying attention to everything. So that's what you need to be. It's nice to be for once, you know, whenever you, as a harpist, they're always asking you, people are like, well, do you play with an orchestra? Do you play with the orchestra? It's like, finally, I can say, yes, actually, I do.
Something John mentioned was meditation. I asked him to tell me a little more about how he uses meditation as a tool, and he pointed me in the direction of an app called Headspace. Their slogan is "Meditation Made Easy." I've always been passingly interested in meditation. The concept is attractive to me, but the practice is a little harder to wrap my brain around.
Like most of us, John isn't perfect and will admit that he should do it more. But his description of his experiences with meditation really hit home for me, and I think that they'll do the same for many others who have tried and failed to clear their minds.
It's something that I wanted to try doing. I actually took a class when I first moved to Atlanta. I went to the Shambhala Center and took a meditation class, but then like making myself do it was really hard. And I found that the app was the absolute right amount of stimulation. And it starts you off with like little 10-minute meditations. When I took the class, we sat for an hour. And I mean, sitting for an hour is a long time when you're just starting it out. But this guy, he's out in Venice Beach, California. He's this Kiwi guy. He's a very interesting character, but it's his voice that you hear in the app. And you sit there and he sort of guides you through the whole thing. And he's talking to you the entire time and you're counting your breaths. And he makes it manageable. And you can be a passenger in the experience as opposed to sitting there for an hour thinking, am I doing this right? I should do it every day, but I don't. But I notice that when I do it regularly, it does improve all kinds of things about my thinking.
That's it for episode 22. Many thanks to Lynn Williams and John Wickie for speaking with us today. If you'd like to learn more about Lynn, you can check out her website at mlwharp.com. Follow what she's up to with the Chicago Harp Quartet at chicagoharpquartet.com and view the Lyric Opera performance schedule to see when she's in the pit. John's website is johnallenwickie.com. That's Wiki with a C-K-E-Y at the end. And if you're ever in Greenville, be sure to stop at his tropical smoothie store on Woodruff Road. Music for today's episode comes from the new CD Taylor Street, featuring harpist Carol Robbins, and reviewed in the current issue of Harp Column by Allison Young. We've got some really exciting episodes coming up in the next few weeks, so be sure to watch out for new episodes. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week.